Well, good morning. How are you today? Hey, it's such a joy to be here at Brighton AG. We have so been looking forward to this weekend to just have the opportunity to worship with you and share our heart, all that God is doing in us and calling us to in the city of Pontiac. And so it's going to be a great morning. We're so grateful for God's presence that's here and that we have the opportunity to break open God's word with you. And I just want to say thank you so much, Pastor Brad and Rhonda, for your leadership, your encouragement in our lives. You have literally been an encouragement for many, many years, and you actually put the number on almost 20 years of just encouraging us and mentoring leaders that are mentoring us in life. And you've done that for leaders all across the state. And so on this last Sunday of what is customarily Pastor Appreciation Month, I want to say thank you to you two for pastoring us cities away and pastoring leaders all across this state. And you guys get to see it on a regular basis, don't you? Incredible leaders, aren't they? Incredible leaders. Would you show your appreciation for Pastor Brad and Rhonda, their incredible leadership? In fact, it was about 5 years ago. It was a network conference up in Traverse City that we were at, and I was sensing a little bit of a transition that the Lord was about to lead us through. And Pastor Brad was at the altar and went up to him to just receive prayer, to just say, would you pray over me? Would you just speak a word into our lives and our hearts? And I captured that word. I don't know if you know that. And I've just kept it in my phone over these years. And it's just simply this. He just prayed, Lord, give them a ministry that may not look like what they think. And Lord, give them a blank slate in the city of Pontiac. And the Lord has done just that over these last 5 years. And as we get ready to launch this church, we're excited about all that God is going to do in the city of Pontiac. And I just want to echo what Pastor Brad said just a moment ago, not only in welcoming my wife, Colette, who is my partner in crime. And I think there's a picture of our kids up on the screen. We are just incredibly blessed. And I promise you, Malachi isn't as mean as he looks in the picture that's there. He is a bundle of energy, 2.5 years old, and our 6-month-old, Lottie. We are just so incredibly blessed. And to have Derek and Sophia with us, I reached out to Derek about a year ago and said, hey, I've got a dream to plant a church in the city of Pontiac that God is calling us to. Would you pray about coming and joining us? They weren't even married yet. They were just about to get married. And already they were praying about God's ministry in their lives. And they went all in. They lived in downtown Pontiac, right in the center of town, in a loft there. They both work in the city of Pontiac. They are all in to the glory of God. And I'm so grateful for the two of you and how you're following God's leading in your lives and supporting us in an incredible way. Well, hey, I want to get right into the word. Can I do that? If you have a copy of God's word, would you turn with me to Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah? We're going to be looking at chapters 1 and 2. That's where we'll be spending the vast majority of our time today. And I want to talk to you today with a message entitled, Dream for the City. Dream for the City. And I want to ask you today, have you ever had a dream before? Have you ever had a dream? I'm not talking about a dream to be rich and famous, or a dream to play on a pro sports team. I didn't have that blessing in my life. But have you ever had a dream that our friend Mark Batterson would call a God-sized dream? A vision, a desire, something big or small, but a God-sized vision that God has called you to. You see, dreaming is not a foreign concept. In fact, we can look at so many leaders, I'm sure in your life and in mine, to look at this concept of dreaming. We can even look at several historical figures in world history to catch a glimpse of what a God-sized dream looks like. When I think about somebody having a dream, I quickly think of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Dr. King, as he so aptly articulates, had a dream that his four little children would one day live in a nation where they would not be judged by the an incredible dream. It was a dream that eventually Dr. King was even murdered for. A dream, a God-sized dream. Then there is Corrie Ten Boom. I thought about her just the other day. An incredible woman of God. And you might look at this picture and say, well, she looks like my grandmother. Looks like she would just come and give me tea and biscuits. But I promise you that beyond the facade is a powerful woman of God who had a dream of helping Jews escape a Holocaust attack on their lives. And it was there that her and her dad and her sister would begin to create a refuge for the Jewish people, even one that she was in prison for. And while she was in prison, her father and her sister died, yet her dream lived on, and God used her in an incredible way. It was a God-sized dream. Then there's the Reverend Billy Graham. I'm sure you know a little bit of his story. He had a vision to share the gospel with all who would listen. And over his lifetime, he fulfilled that dream and shared the gospel to more than 200 million people in 185 countries. Graham. I'll come back to that life at the end of today's talk. These leaders did incredible things that literally changed the course of human history. You might say, I could never do that. I could never live up to a Dr. King or a Corrie Ten Boom or Reverend Billy Graham. You might say, God could never use me in that way. Well, let me just tell you this. This is our big idea today. This is the central thought and theme of the message that I'm just bringing to you. And it's just simply this. If you can dream it, God can do it. If you can dream it, God can do it. And not only do we look at these historical figures that are here and have been on the face of the earth, but we look to the Word of God. And I can promise you, all throughout Scriptures, there are dreams that have been fulfilled to the glory of God. And God promises that He will do it yet again. So as a backdrop today, I want to turn your attention to the story of Nehemiah. And Nehemiah is one of my favorite leaders in all of the Bible. His story is absolutely incredible. We're going to watch today as Nehemiah was called to his hometown city of Jerusalem to rebuild the walls of the city. And this story resonates with us in so many incredible ways, because that's what God has called us to do in the city of Pontiac, a city that is broken and has so many challenges. God has called us to the very rebuilding of the city. And as we launch Pontiac Church in this next year, September of 2023, God is calling us to do just that. To make a difference, to change the spiritual condition of the city. I want to tell you today, Pontiac needs a great church. It needs a spirit-filled church that would go out and reach people in incredible ways, that would be an extension of the gospel message and make a difference like never before. And we are so blessed that God has called us to do just that in this season of our lives. Let me talk to you about Nehemiah. Can I do that? Nehemiah was in exile from his hometown city of Jerusalem. He was serving King Artaxerxes of Persia. He was cupbearer to the king, which was a very close leadership position, as we're going to watch. It was a strategic position that Nehemiah had. And as Nehemiah is serving the king, he begins to hear about the plight of his hometown city. He hears that Jerusalem's walls have been broken down by fire, and destruction is taking place in the city. And his heart is literally overwhelmed. So we look at Nehemiah chapter 1 to see what was taking place. Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 3 just simply says this: "They said to me, 'Those who survive the exile and are back in the province are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire.' When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven." After hearing about the state that his city is in, Nehemiah is broken. He is completely overwhelmed. He doesn't do what most people do in hearing about an issue or a concern or a worry. He doesn't go running into the city to try and fix it by his own strength. He stops. He pauses. He waits. The Bible says that he prayed and mourned and took stock to understand what was happening in his hometown. Today, I want to give you the first of three thoughts that I'm going to give you today, and it's just simply this: God wants us to pray and understand his heart for the community. God wants us to pray and understand his heart for you. Let me ask you this morning, when's the last time that you stopped, paused, prayed to hear the cries, the broken, the lost, the hurting? It's the last time you stopped to do that and link your heart with God's. The reality is, people are all over this country, in this world. They're hurting, they're broken, they're dealing with the chaos of life. And I don't know about you, but it seems like our world is more fractured than it has been ever before. And not only can we look around the world, you've been talking about it in this missions emphasis, and see brokenness and war and hunger and people without God, but you don't have to go too far. You don't have to go overseas. You don't even have to go to another state to see the most jaw-dropping, overwhelming poverty, destruction, disease you could ever imagine. Just about an hour east of here, where we drove in from today, in the city of Pontiac, we have just that. A city, a community that has been hurting, broken, overlooked, marginalized, forgotten, left behind literally for decades. And as you'll see in the pictures that'll scroll behind me, it's an incredible city with a rich heritage and rich history. Back when General Motors was in town, it was a booming city, a metropolis. The longest continuous General Motors plant held from the city of Pontiac. Yet over these last decades, the city has literally been ravaged. This city, as a frame of reference, is the county seat of Oakland County. To the south, we have Bloomfield Hills. And if you remember Matthew Stafford, the Lions quarterback that just won the Super Bowl in L.A., lived in an $11 million house just 6 minutes from where we live. To the north, we have Lake Angeles, which is a community that literally has a median household income that gets close to $300,000, yet the median income in Pontiac is barely $35,000. 60% of the homes in Pontiac are rentals. 28% of people live below the poverty line. 50% of children live below the poverty line. 10,000 of the 60,000 Pontiac residents don't have access to a vehicle. Our reading and math rates are always in the basement. Unemployment rates are always in the double digits. And the people of Pontiac, hear this, have a 20-year lower life expectancy than those in the communities that surround them. People in Pontiac live 20 years less than in the cities around us. More staggering and more important than any of those statistics that I just gave you is simply this. We estimate that less than 10,000 of the 60,000 residents in Pontiac are in church on any regular or frequent basis. Our city is broken. Our city is desperately in need. Our city needs to rebuild. And let me tell you today, there is nothing that we can do to break these statistics and break these strongholds. Government programs won't do it. You can throw all the money at it that you want to do. The only thing that will make a difference in the city is the gospel message of Jesus Christ that changes everything. And we're going to bring that to the people of Pontiac in this next year. And I'm so grateful that Brighton AG is partnering with us to do just that. That's our dream. That every single heart and life in this city would come to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that makes the difference. And maybe you're here today and you're thinking, as I hear about those challenges, as I hear about those issues, as I hear about those strongholds, I feel like that I'm in a similar situation. My life is broken. My life needs to be changed and transformed. Can I tell you? God is here today. He's here in this room. We've already sang about it. We've already welcomed him. And he's here today. And not only will he do it in the city of Pontiac, he will do it in your life. And not only that, hear me, Brighton. God wants each and every one of us to take this gospel message, to take this light to our neighbors, to our coworkers, to our friends, to our family. And the people around us, they're waiting on us. We may be the only Jesus that they ever see. So as you hear God's heart, as you begin to pray and understand the brokenness, I pray that your heart would be linked with God's, not only for the city, but for your own local community, and that God would use you to make a difference. We look back at the story of Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 11, as we just understand that we need to hear God's heartbeat in the city. We also need to take a step further. Let's look in verse 11. It says this: Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. I was cupbearer to the king, Nehemiah says. Chapter 2, verse 1 says this: in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was brought for him, I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had not been sad in his presence before, so the king asked me, why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. I was very much afraid, Nehemiah says, but I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? The king said to me, what is it you want? That's a great question. Then I prayed to the God of heaven and I answered the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in his sight, let him send me to the city of Judah where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it. Understand this. Nehemiah prayed for 4 months. 4 months seeking God's heart. And then he had an epiphany, it seems, that he was cupbearer to the king. He had authority, had influence in the king's palace. He was the guy that would test the king's food. And so he had incredible access that was there that no one else did. And so he goes to the king with a sadness for what was happening in his hometown. And he wasn't to do that. If he were to do that, he could have literally been killed. But he goes to the king in this posture. And the king literally opens the doors and gives him all access, every resource he needs to rebuild his hometown city. Let me give you the second of thoughts today. That's simply this. God has given all of us influence and authority. God has given all of us influence and authority in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces. God has given each of us a sphere of influence. He's giving us giftings and favor and the ability to make a difference in the world around us. There are places that only you can go to share the gospel message of Jesus with people. There's places that even Pastor Brad can't go, that God has given you influence and favor. And he's called all of us to make a difference there. Only God can give you influence in places that ordinary people don't have influence. And that's what he did for Nehemiah right there. We've seen that extraordinary influence in the city of Pontiac through launching the Pontiac Community Foundation just 4.5 years ago. We've worked to partner with the city and community leaders and nonprofits and ministries and churches all across our community to identify some of these issues that I've shared with you today and to begin to look at how can we make a difference? How can we solve some of these issues and needs? And God has given us incredible favor with our leaders in the city, with leaders across the state. And to the glory of God, we've been able to make a difference and bring more than $10 million in resources into our community to make a difference. And not only that, but last year our city elected a new mayor and a new city council in its entirety. 8 new leaders. And we were so very blessed that God has given us relationship with every single one of those leaders. Not only that, but we elected 2 pastors onto our city council. First time in history that a pastor had sat on the city council. And then the new mayor gave me a call and said, Dustin, I want you to come. I want you to lead the transition team for the new administration. I want you to help set up our strategic priorities for the city. I want you to help us hire new staff. I want you to help me set up my office and do all those things. And a lot of people pray for a key to their city. And Pastor Brad, God literally gave me the key to the city, unvetted access to the mayor and the administration of our city. And I don't know exactly what God has in mind by doing just that, but I tell you what, we're going to use it to the honor and the glory of God as we launch this church and as he gives us authority and influence and access in the city of Pontiac. Awesome. To the glory of God. Would you believe it? I don't know why God would choose me. I don't know why God would choose me. I feel literally ordinary, but God wants to use us. He wants to use us to fulfill an amazing dream to reach people for the glory of God. He goes before us. He opens doors that no man can open. He closes doors that no man can close. And so, listen to me close. God has given you influence and authority. God has given you the ability to speak over lives, to speak over your life, your situation. God has given you the same access and power and ability if you will just lean into Him. Been blessed, not only the leadership of our city, but even just this week as we've been praying and asking the Lord to give us a location for the church. We've been praying. We've been circling our city. We feel like He's called us to the downtown of Pontiac, the epicenter of the city, to just begin to build a beacon in that city. And the Lord has literally opened the doors to business owners and property owners that have just welcomed us in and that are open to the idea of having a church in their facilities. And I just want to ask you, would you pray with us? We need God. We've been asking God to do a miracle in the city. We need a home, not just to worship, but a home that would literally allow us to have multifaceted ministry in the inner city that would reach people, not only spiritual, but with the tangible needs that they have. And we want to believe that God would literally do a miracle and open up a door that we don't even see before us. And so I want to invite you, would you, to pray with us that God would do a miracle in the city. Not only has God given us the ability to hear His heartbeat, He's given us influence and authority, but I want to take it a step further, if I can just do that. Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 17 says this. It's Nehemiah again. Then I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace." And I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king has said to me. They replied, "Let us start rebuilding." So they began this good work. Verse 19 says this, "But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard about it, they mocked and ridiculed us. 'What is this you are doing?' they asked. 'Are you rebelling against the king?' I answered them by saying," says Nehemiah, "'the God of heaven will give us success. We, his servants, will start rebuilding. But as for you, you have no share in Jerusalem or claim or historic right to it." In these verses, Nehemiah begins, after praying, to survey the physical appearance of those broken down walls. He gathers a small group of men to get started on the work and encourages them to start rebuilding. And immediately as they begin to go to work, they have an enemy that comes against them. A literal enemy that begins to come, these obstructionists, and ask them, "What is it that you think that you are doing?" And Nehemiah just begins to get rid of these guys and declare, "You have no right to this city. You have no stake here." I want to bring to you, if I can, a third thought that says this: God has called us to do His work, whatever the cost. God has called us to do His work, whatever the cost. If God has given us His heart, if He's given us influence, now He wants us to get started. One of the hardest things for people to do when they have a God-sized dream, when they have a vision, when they have something that God has called them to, is to actually take the first step and to get started. In fact, for us, that wasn't the case as we were serving on staff at Bridgewood Church over these last number of years. There are many times that we thought the Lord was calling us to plan over that history. We would feel the urging. It was really, really our own desire to get started and get going. And we would get ready to go start and let's get started right now. And the Lord would say, "Nope, now's not the right time." And then a couple of years would pass and we feel like, "Okay, it's time to plant a church in Pontiac." God would say, "No, it's not time yet." And then over the last year, the Lord just began to tug on our hearts and lead us in this direction. And we said, well, wait a minute, God, this is not the right time. I thought one of those other times would have been better. We've got this going on and that going on. God said, no, it's time. It's time. It's time to fulfill this dream, to rebuild the city, to launch my church. But even when that happens, we ask questions like, is this really what God wants me to do? Have you ever asked that question? Is this the right time? Will it work out? Will it be hard? Will there be opposition? And I'll tell you the truth, in this season, I have asked these questions and more. If you know anything about church planting, the average church doesn't make it beyond 2 years. If we look at Pontiac, that is the most churched city, at one point was the most churched city per capita in the state of Michigan, over 300 churches in Pontiac. Churches come and go all the time. So what makes it clear? What makes it evident that now is the time to start a church in Pontiac? What makes it clear that God's going to grant his divine favor to do this work? As I look at the story of Nehemiah, I looked at the adversity that he's facing. Nehemiah 4, those that are assisting him in building the wall, they got nervous. They got concerned. When they started seeing people coming against, they said, listen, this is not for us. This can't be what God called us to do. And Sanballat and Tobiah are bringing a multitude of people. And then Nehemiah does something absolutely incredible. He gets together a group of armed guards. And he places these armed guards all across the wall. In fact, he goes a step further, and encourages the people as they're rebuilding the wall, that as they have a tool in one hand, that they should also have a weapon, a sword in the other, to fight off the attack of the enemy. And so as Nehemiah equips them, they continue rebuilding the wall. And unfortunately, there will be times in our lives when we are forced to do the very same thing. Even in the midst of adversity, God will begin to give us the equipment we need to get through and fulfill his dream for us. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 12 say this, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand against the enemy's schemes, the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits and heavenly places. Isn't that a powerful passage of scripture? I want you to know that no matter what you face, no matter what you go through, God will literally be with you to fight against the enemy if you put on the full armor of God. I sent this passage of scripture to the small team that God has already put together in leadership of what will soon be known in the community as Pontiac Church. I sent this text because we had one team meeting at the end of July this year, and then literally all hell began to break loose in our lives, Colette and I. We had this one a team meeting on a Tuesday. Then a few days later, Colette and our oldest got COVID. On a lighter note, a couple of days later, our dog got skunked. I think God had a little humor in that one. A few days later, Colette's mom passes away after a battle with cancer. A few days later, my brother unexpectedly passes away, 44 years of age, leaves a 6-year-old son. We had our bank accounts hacked a few days later, thousands of dollars taken out of our accounts. I officiated two funerals of family members within a 7-day period. And I'll tell you, this is not even an exaggeration. What followed was literally a threat against our very lives that came to us. And as I look at the destruction, as I look at the carnage, I want to tell you with all of the faith that God gives to me today, I am not discouraged, but I am encouraged. Because if all of this is happening, if all of this attack after attack after attack after attack is happening in our lives, is overwhelming, is brutal, is something that we feel like we can't overcome. I tell you what, the enemy is coming full throttle against us because he knows that God is about to do something in the city of Pontiac. And let me tell you what, not death, not the enemy, not a sword, not an attack can keep us from what God has called us to, his dream for the city of Pontiac. And we will continue no matter what the enemy brings against us to the glory of God and for his city. Because those people have experienced this and more year after year after year. And no one has cared for them. But we're changing that today. We care for them. And so does the living God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We press on. We go on. God makes the difference. God arms us. God sustains us. To Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 15, if you would look a step forward, we find that Nehemiah and his colleagues rebuilt the wall in only 52 days. 52 days. Can you imagine that? Rebuilt the wall of the city. This simple dream and movement of God's heart. And Nehemiah's turn from a dream and a prayer to watching God do something absolutely incredible. And that's what we're believing and praying and asking God to do in Pontiac. And I don't know how long it'll take for that dream to be fulfilled. I don't know how long it will take for our dream to be fulfilled in the city. I don't know how long it'll take to establish Pontiac Church, who will come, how many lives will be changed. But God can fulfill that dream. Why? Because if you can dream it, God can do it. And it's God that makes the difference. It's God that does the increase. Pastor, we estimate that we literally, because of the financial challenges in our city, by July of next year need to raise $250,000 to launch this church. God has already blessed us. We've raised $65,000 already. We also estimate that we need to raise about $8,000 in monthly support to sustain the church for the first 3 years. And God has already blessed us with $4,500 of that. It seems like an insurmountable task to build a church in an urban context and city. But I want to leave you with this thought as we just begin to wrap today's message, that is just simply this: when you follow God's prompting, there's no dream you can't fulfill. I don't know how much money all told it'll take, or if he'll give us a building, or how many attacks we'll face, but God will fulfill the dream. Because that's what he does. It was him that called us, him who nudged us. It's him that will equip us, give us influence. I know he'll make the difference. I know he'll fulfill the dream because the dream didn't start a year ago. It didn't start 2 years ago. It really started 25 years ago. At 7 years old, I was living in the inner city of Pontiac on the east side of town, literally in a war zone. Drugs and alcohol present in our neighborhood, in our home. Living in a single parent home where my dad was absent. We lived with my grandmother the first 15 years of my life. Had a brother who was shot and almost killed when I was really young. And at 7 years old, my life was destined to just become another statistic. But it was at 7 years old, as Pastor Brad mentioned, that an old Sunday school bus rounded the corner on my street and said, "Well, you want to come to Power Company Kids Club? You want to come and hear the gospel message?" I don't know what any of that meant. But God literally changed and transformed my life for all of eternity. I would not be on this stage today if God hadn't done a miracle for this 7-year-old boy in the inner city of Pontiac. My mom gave her heart and life to Jesus Christ 10 years later. My grandmother, at almost 80 years old, surrendered her life at Jesus Christ, was baptized in water in an incredible way. And God privileged us to serve as directors of Power Company, to serve on staff at Bridgeman, to do absolutely incredible things. But it all started with God rescuing, changing my life. My prayer at Brighton AG is just simply this: God, do it again. God, do it again. God, would you come miraculously and save life? Would you save lives? There are children that are broken and hurting and lost, living in the midst of hell. There are families that have no direction and nowhere to go. Nobody cares about them, but God does. And so we're calling and asking, "Oh Lord, would you come and do it again? Would you fulfill your dream once more?" I told you I was going to come back to the story of Billy Graham. As I just invite you to stand with me, would you do that? It was Dr. J. Edwin Orr, one of the greatest authorities ever on revival in the church. He was a lecturer at Wheaton College. He took some students in 1940 in a brief visit to England to visit the Epworth Rectory where John Wesley was based. Beside the bed are two worn impressions in the carpet where it was said that John Wesley knelt for hours in prayer. He was praying for England's social and spiritual renewal. As the students were getting on the bus to leave this location, Dr. Orr noticed one of the students was missing. Going back upstairs, where all of them had gathered, he found one student kneeling in the carpet knee holes, praying with his face on the bed, "Oh Lord, do it again. Do it again," he said. And Orr placed a hand on the student's shoulder and said gently, "Come on, Billy. We must be going." And rising, Billy Graham ran to join his friends on the bus. As I told you, the late Reverend Billy Graham communicated the gospel to more people than any other person in human history. If you can dream it, Brighton, God can do it. And just as Reverend Billy Graham prayed in those very early days, we're asking God to do it again. Would you just begin to pray that prayer with us? God, would you do it again? Would you do it again here in Brighton? Oh God, would you do it again in our hearts and our lives? Would you just lift your hands and ask Him, God, would you do it again in the city of Pontiac? God, would you extend your spirit and your heart and your life? Would you save lives again? Would you change souls again? Would you fulfill dreams again? Would you move by the power of your Holy Spirit again? Would you do a miracle in the city? Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you've called us to this moment. God, we thank you. You called us to Pontiac Church. We're humbled that you would use us. I still think about that 7-year-old kid, that old Sunday school bus, and I'm honored. God, would you show these people, would you show this church, Brighton AG, God, how you would use them God, would you give each and every person in this room a God-sized dream? God, a God-sized dream for their family, for their neighborhood, for their co-workers, God, for the ministry, to share the gospel message. God, would you give it to them? And would you extend your heart and your spirit to fulfill that dream in their lives? God, today, I just ask you, Lord, if there would be even one here today, I would say, I don't have a dream yet. I don't know how to run that direction because I still need to be rebuilt. I'm broken. Jesus, would you come? Would you touch hearts? Would you change lives? Would you make a difference? Would you do something absolutely incredible? Not only in Pontiac, not only around the world, but here in Brighton. And God, we give you the honor. God, we give you the glory. We give you everything because, God, it's you that fulfills the dream. We thank you for it today. In Jesus' name, Pastor Brad, would you come?